Hello and welcome to Backchat, your podcast all about scoliosis, yoga and back care. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher, creator of the Yoga Berry Yoga for Scoliosis community and YouTube channel, and this show is all about supporting you on your scoliosis journey. So if you're looking for practical advice and inspiration on how to manage the condition with yoga and movement, then you're in the right place. Many people reach their 40s, 50s, maybe even 60s, and they start to notice that things feel a little bit different in their bodies and specifically their backs. So maybe things are a little bit more achy, especially first thing in the morning. Maybe movement feels harder. Maybe things that used to be really easy are all of a sudden much more difficult, like walking, for example, for long periods of time. So one of the most common questions that I hear is my scoliosis getting worse? And so today we're going to be talking about this topic, and we're going to be talking about what the research actually says about scoliosis progressing in adulthood, and why there's maybe more symptoms and why symptoms change as well as we get older. And most importantly, we'll talk about what you can do, obviously, to influence this. So that's our topic for today. If you are here live, feel free to use the chat. Unless you're driving, then don't. Then just listen. But feel free to get involved in the conversation. You can ask all your questions in there. I usually get to most of them during the course of this chat as well. I do have a little bit of some talking points here, but really it's called a back chat because we're chatting. And so feel free to get involved is what I'm trying to say. And I can see some of you already tuning in, which is lovely because it makes it much more fun, I think, for everyone. And also making it more relevant to you guys rather than just me rambling on and not quite sure if things are actually relevant for you. But as you showed up, I'm guessing that you are maybe over the age of 40, maybe over the age of 50, 60, or maybe you're kind of approaching that age and you want to be prepared and you want to know what's going on, right? And I think this is another reason why these conversations are so important, especially if you are an older person with scoliosis, because the younger people need to know, right? And the thing that I hear most often is, I wish I had done something earlier on. I wish I had been a little bit more proactive earlier on. Now, we cannot turn back time, go back in time and start again, but we can let younger people know, first of all, and for ourselves, it's never too late to get started and to do something about the things that are coming up for us. So why is this relevant, right? And I find this, so as most of you know, I have scoliosis myself. So I was diagnosed as a child. So I've been living with this my whole life. And but the typical story that I hear is that people come to me when they're in their probably like late 40s, 50s, between 50 and 60 seems to be the prime age of people getting in touch with me. And they're saying, I was diagnosed as a teenager. I never had any problems with scoliosis. My whole life, I was really active or not even, but I did not have any pain. I did not have any problems. And all of a sudden, things seem to be going downhill. And I've got aches and pains. I've had more recent x-rays, and things seem to be getting worse. Hi Diana. So she's asking how old are you? So I am 45. I'll be very transparent here. So I am over that age of 40. I have kind of been watching for a long time what is going on. I've been kind of doing my research. Now, will I be able to prevent, you know, or change the course of what is going on? Who knows? But I certainly am going to do everything that I can in order to make sure that scoliosis doesn't get worse. So what do we actually mean by things getting worse? So first of all, what I just want to say is just because you notice that things are different doesn't automatically mean that your scoliosis is progressing. So that's another thing that I sometimes find. And I found this in my own body, probably even when I was younger, and I had most of the problems I had with my scoliosis, it's quite untypical actually, was when I was in my 20s. And that's when I had the most amount of back pain. I'm saying now, thank goodness I did, because it made me really go for it and really make sure that I am prepared. And then I am doing all the right things, obviously, as I'm getting older. But I think the first thing that happens is that we start to become a little bit more aware. And why is this? I think once you start to notice one thing, you start to pay a little bit more attention to everything. So, for example, I'm 45. I have not had any hormone testing, but I can say with 99% of certainty that I am in perimenopause. And once you start noticing one thing, you start to notice all the other things as well. And it is a time where, for women, obviously, where the body goes through a tremendous amount of change. And that is the whole system. It's your bones, it's your hormones, obviously. So it's lots of different things at play. We are getting older at the end of the day. As women, we are kind of entering a new stage. So the body is just kind of adapting to all of this. And this is why, and I'm not a menopause expert at all, it is a topic that I'm very much interested as I'm going through it. But it is, there's a lot of things going on at the same time. Good. So not sure what your name is. I developed 4 years ago and I'm 39. So you're saying you developed scoliosis, I'm guessing. And just one thing there as well. I don't know, maybe you had an accident. So I don't want to say that is not true. Maybe there was something specifically going on. But for a lot of us, it's kind of something that develops. The signs were maybe there when you were even younger than that, but it never caused you any problems. But as we get older, there might be things that are getting worse, obviously. So noticing the change doesn't mean always that the curve is actually getting worse. And what do we actually mean by getting worse? So we can very objectively say if your cob angle, so the angle of your scoliosis, is increasing, then your doctor will say your scoliosis is absolutely getting worse. Right. So how do they know this? They take an x-ray, they measure the curve, and they maybe compare it to 10 years ago, right? Or whenever you had your last x-ray. Now, we have to be a little bit careful with those numbers, because sometimes I do get this when people get a little bit, they get a little bit scared if there is progression of, like, let's say 5 degrees, it's 5 degrees more. That doesn't always mean the same thing. In a teenager, this would be alarming, especially if this is happening over the course of 6 months, for example. But if an adult, over the course of 10 years, and the difference is 5 degrees, I would say that is nearly nothing, because they do actually have they accept an error margin of 10 degrees, which is a lot. So that could just be the way that you're standing during your x-ray. It could be the difference between the evening, the morning, or whenever you took this x-ray. So we don't want to get too caught up in the numbers when we're looking at x-rays. Okay, so degenerative scoliosis have arthritis, many x-rays over the years. Yeah. And, you know, there are still different types of scoliosis as well, right? Most of us have idiopathic scoliosis that developed in the teenage years. That is kind of the typical journey. Degenerative scoliosis can sometimes be a little bit more aggressive, and it can be happening obviously later on in life. And there are different types. But what we kind of want to look out for is how quickly are things changing. So you've got this kind of objective measure of looking at an x-ray, of course. You've got the symptoms that might be changing. So as I said already in the beginning, maybe things that were really easy are really difficult right now. Maybe you don't have the same stamina when you're walking for long periods of time. Maybe one side of your back is chronically tight and stiff. Maybe one side of your hips is just kind of chronically stiff, achy. You go to your consultant, you have an x-ray, they say, oh, that's because of your scoliosis. And then you kind of think, oh, it must be getting worse. So we don't really want to jump to these conclusions straight away. Good. Yes, it depends on the way they measure the changes and the vertebrae they choose. Absolutely. And you can go to two different health professionals and they give you two different measurements, right? So this is, again, this is important to bear in mind when you're looking at numbers from a report, from an x-ray. I've seen all sorts of things, and I get those reports all the time from people. They can be very, very different. So I wouldn't get alarmed about things like this. Things also, when I sometimes see those medical reports, they always sound terrible, right? They never sound very positive, and that your body is coping really well, and that you're a strong person, and you know there is hope for you. It usually sounds catastrophic, and it sounds like, oh my goodness, I am falling apart. But that is just the nature of these medical reports. Unfortunately, it's just the way that they are written. Okay, so we've got another comment. I'm turning 50 next month. Is there any point in getting my x-rays done when I know I'm not going to do surgery? That's a really good question. I would almost say no. Unless the only reason why I would, but there are other things you can do, because, you know, it's radiation, obviously. So there's things you might want to avoid. It's not great to have x-rays all the time. What I would do is, if you are concerned about progression, you could get a baseline reading maybe every 10 years or so. That's probably what I would do. I find it very difficult in this country. I'm in the UK to actually get an x-ray, to be honest. So even if you want to pay for it, they don't really do this very easily nowadays anymore. So if you are saying you're not going to have surgery, do you actually need to know? If you know the shape of your spine, and you can find this out by doing the Adams forward bend. So if you have a health professional who can do an assessment for you, like, I don't need necessarily an x-ray of somebody. It's always easier to see what exactly is going on, but it's not absolutely necessary, because what is really important is how your body is coping and how your body is compensating. And there's things we can see. We can see if one shoulder is higher. We can see if one shoulder is rolling forwards more. We can see if the hips are shifted over to the side. So these are all things where you don't necessarily need an x-ray. It is, I'm always curious. So I like, for me, I like to know. But some people, you know, don't really need to see all the details. And sometimes it is just kind of a little bit more alarming. Can I contact you? Yes, you can get in touch. So my website is movewithscoliosis.com, and you can contact me via that as well. Okay, so let me go back to where we were. So symptoms can be changing. Somebody already said about arthritis. Obviously, as we're so from that magic age of 40, 50, whatever it might be, that magic age, I've heard it's 45. That's what I find, actually. There might be obviously other things going on. So discs are changing, right? Everything gets a little bit more brittle. Everything gets a little bit more dehydrated. Arthritis might be something that is coming up. We are generally getting older, so of course there are changes. The bone density might change, and there is a lot of research about this, but basically from that age, especially for women from menopause, it's accelerating. Aging is accelerating, and we lose muscle mass and we lose bone density as well. Good. So I seem to have HEDS. I don't know what that is. Mast cell activation, histamine pain. I'm not a doctor. I specialize in scoliosis, but I do not know every single condition, obviously. I would always say, yes, it is a good idea to find diagnosis for sure, just for your peace of mind, so that you know exactly what's going on. Oh, I see. Hypermobility. Yes. Hypermobility is very much related to scoliosis. So they do kind of go hand in hand. So there's a lot of things that are kind of same with osteoporosis, osteopenia. They're very, very likely. It doesn't mean that everybody with scoliosis has them, but there are some links. Do you need a diet? Well, you probably already know, right? So unless you are going to have treatment for anything, it's the same with a question about, do I need an x-ray if I'm not going to have surgery? You know, if it depends. If you want, you can go down a rabbit hole. If you go to the doctor and you say you are going to get diagnosed for something, they'll most likely find something else, and you'll probably will go down some rabbit hole. Is it better to work on these symptoms myself and not risk the stigma? Is that what you mean by stigma, that you kind of have this attached to you? What exactly is going on? And, you know, I should obviously say it's always better to get a diagnosis. But yeah, it depends on how severe these things are, right? With hypermobility, especially, if you are not too concerned about, if you don't think this is like really, really abnormal. You see it in other people, right? A lot of us have got hypermobility. It's more a matter of how you then protect yourself, right? And how you, if you have super hypermobile joints, are you going to go into an extreme gymnastics or yoga class? You'll probably be really good at it, but it's probably not the best thing for you. So probably, most likely, your body needs a little bit more stability. So from that point of view, excuse me, it can be quite good to get a diagnosis from somebody who you trust, who can then maybe point you into the direction of some things that you can do, obviously, and that can help you. I did not have surgery, no. So my scoliosis was never severe enough to go down the surgery route. I did have, so I was diagnosed when I was a child, and I had lots of physiotherapy around it. I did have a heel lift in my shoes for years that I had to wear. But other than that, there wasn't really anything that was done for me. So I have avoided it, and I'm planning to keep avoiding it. So let's talk about this question about progression of scoliosis curves. So we know aging kind of accelerates after the age of 40. Body starts to become a little bit more dehydrated, collagen and all of that is lacking, muscles are declining. It sounds terrible, doesn't it? But it is really not, because all you need to do is it's just adapting your lifestyle. So I just make sure I eat a lot of protein. I make sure that I do strength training. I've just kind of changed a little bit more the things that I do. I used to eat a lot of carbs, not very much protein. I've changed that, little carbs, more protein. So it's just kind of adapting to whatever stage you are in life. And with this kind of question of progression, there are some statistics that you can look at. So if you probably Googled, how does scoliosis progress in adulthood, or whatever you would ask, there are some studies that are saying scoliosis will progress by 1 degree every single year. Now, we know that this is not true, right? Not everybody is the same. Not everybody progresses in the same way, at the same rate. Now, scoliosis curves that are larger, and I'm not even going to say the threshold, because who knows what that actually is. Yes, there are studies, but that doesn't mean that's true for you. But obviously, the more severe your scoliosis is, the more likely it is to progress as well. So, and that is just gravity basically acting on the body. This does not mean, by the way, that, and it's a fear that I sometimes hear, that it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse until you end up in a wheelchair. That is not true. I've also seen that there was progression in a scoliosis curve, and then the progression stopped again. So it kind of goes in some waves, maybe. And what they haven't actually measured, are these people doing any exercises? What is their lifestyle? What are they doing during their day-to-day life? So there are a lot of kind of questions about this question of progression, and will it progress? And as an adult, if your scoliosis hasn't really progressed in your kind of 20s, 30s, beginning 40s, maybe it's less likely to progress as well afterwards. So people remain relatively stable for years. Sometimes what you do here is that then during menopause, there is a little bit of a change, but then it stabilizes again. So I think this is, so for me, I know this is a critical time right now. So I will obviously do my exercises. I will make sure I will stay strong during this time as well. Okay, so losing height. So let's have a look at this, Lauren. So Lauren is saying, I'm 68. I've shrunken from 5'4 to 5'1. I feel like my internal organs are being squished and I'm often uncomfortable, especially in the evening when my back is more sore. Does that make sense? Yes, absolutely, Lauren. That does make sense. And that is a big height difference. And I would like to know over the course of how many years this has happened. Right? So I would always say if something is happening quickly, that's when you need to go and see somebody, right? So if this is like happening over, if you were saying to me this happened over the course of 6 months, that would be alarming, right? That is, there is definitely something going on, that there is obviously your something is very unstable and something is right now happening. Okay, so she's saying since menopause 15 years. So that's different from 6 months, right? So height difference is definitely something that comes up. This is why I go on and on and on about elongation of the spine, right? To the point where I think people who are my members, who are in my class, or even who follow me on Instagram, cannot hear it anymore when I say the word elongation. But guess what? That is so important, right? It's the number one thing. And Lauren has just told us that her internal organs are being squashed or feel like they're being squashed and that she's often uncomfortable. Especially if you have a lumbar curve, so in your lumbar spine, a curve. Yes, your internal organs are going to be affected in some way. It doesn't mean that they're broken or that they don't do their jobs anymore. It doesn't mean that you necessarily have to have problems, because your body is very clever. It will find a way to adjust, right? So same way as you can live with somebody that I know had one part of their lungs removed, right? And as a child, though. So the lungs actually amazingly expanded, right, into that area that was removed. So the body will find a way to make it all work. But you can still have, obviously, the sensations of compression. The other thing that I hear very often is the space between the ribs and the hips, right? That is compression. So that could be bone on bone that is actually compressing, that there is no space there. So the best thing, there are things that we cannot affect, right? We cannot magically straighten our spines. Even with surgery, you're not going to magically straighten your spines most of the time, especially not as an adult. But there are things that you can do to reset what gravity is doing to the body, right? There are things that are happening slowly over time, and only slowly over time can we make a change as well. So it's not going to be overnight. But it is things like, can we work on that elongation of that decompression? I've just seen an Instagram post actually from a girl. I think she was a teenager. She looked very fit, but she was just hanging from a bar to she called it to decompress her scoliosis. Now that's great, right? She's young, she can do this. Most of us cannot hang from a bar like that. That requires a lot of grip strength. If you have my person here with hypermobility as well, that's not that great, obviously, if you've got hypermobile shoulders. So it might not be the right thing for you, but the idea is great, right? That decompression, that release, that creating space in the body where gravity has acted on our system. So that is one thing. Protect the space, create space as much as you can. Regular movement, and that does not mean it has to be big, right? It does not mean you have to kind of do big end range crazy movements all the time. This just means kind of small joint, especially shoulders, hips. They love like circular, small movements. Just kind of allowing the body to reset. I love somatic practices. At the moment, I teach a lot of that in my membership, where we're working on resetting. We're kind of tightening a muscle and then we're releasing a muscle, right? Tightening a muscle, releasing a muscle. Only then can your system actually understand what is the in between, because sometimes muscles are so chronically tense and tight. Now, I sometimes hear this. There's like, we don't even know what it feels like to release them because they actually haven't been released for such a long time. Good. Rachel is saying hypermobility is a systematic connective tissue disorder, not just a joint issue, because collagen is found in almost every organ system. Yeah, thank you very much for educating us. Absolutely. So, and most issues kind of are not just in one part of the body, but they kind of affect a wider system as well. But the point of this is I think that when we are hypermobile, there's two things actually. It's things that people don't feel sometimes what actually is going on. So there might be a little bit less sensibility. So if you're doing a stretch, you might not actually feel that it is a stretch, and that it creates a sense of instability. So it's looking after the joints. And I would be with scoliosis, I would be concerned about the more vulnerable parts of the spine. So sometimes what I see is that people that tend to be hypermobile have super flexible lower backs. And that means that part of your spine is taking all the load in most of your movements all the time. And it might also be the least stable part of your spine, depending on what you've got going on with scoliosis. There might be a lot of rotation going on. There might be the hip instability. It's just an area that tends to cause a lot of problem. So I would want to strengthen that up, right? I would do what a brace in teenage years does, adding stability with muscles, not with a brace, but building up your muscles. Okay, so I have levo scoliosis. My only hope is spinal fusion. Well, and that depends on how old you are, right? That your hope is spinal fusion. Maybe that has been suggested for you. And that is, you know, that is just the way that things go for some people. And I know plenty of people with spinal fusion who've got amazing lives. Then they don't really have to. It's not that they don't have to worry about scoliosis anymore, because it's still there. It's not going to go away. But it is going to be under control to a certain extent, at least. Good. So let me find my train of thought here. Okay, so muscles, yes, we were talking about strength, right? Sorry. I get quite passionate about these things and then I get a little bit sidetracked. So strengthening is super important. We know that for bone health as well. There's more and more research now that especially women should be weight training and lifting some more weights. So we do know that Pilates is great because it's a very controlled and accessible type of exercise that strengthens before you even thinking about loading more, before you even think about, because what I don't like is, I think sometimes I listen to a lot of podcasts at least, and then they talk about how important the strength training is. And then people go off, haven't been in the gym for ages, and then they go and go to the heaviest weights that they can find straight away because somebody has said strengthening is really important. Then they're like, oh, this feels too heavy, so I'm going to go with a really strong one because I've been told to do that. No, you have to build it up, right? You've got to, especially with scoliosis, because you have to teach yourself the alignment first, and then you can start to add load, and then you can start to experiment. And we've talked about this a lot in our membership classes. We do the mountain pose, right? And we do all our adjustments, create space, all of that, elongation. And then we start to move, and then people are like, oh, I lost everything. Yes, because it's hard, right? Because it's easier when you're static